A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Thursday morning. Little raindrops falling in my head, or however that song goes. Cloudy and rainy. Good for the garden and the flowers, I suppose, and the grass to make it grow. So then that way we have the joys of mowing the lawn. You know, I don't really mind the mowing part as far as like riding on the lawnmower, zero turn. We have a, one of those Gravely units, commercial grade. But anyway, yeah, so it's the weed, you know, having to do the weed whacker, whatever the terminology is. I think we've discussed that before, but yeah, that's kind of the walk of shame, you know. When you're on the mower, it's just kind of laid back. Anyway, a little bumpy, of course, but we make it through and get it done. But yeah, so a little bit of rain today, and so kind of winded down through the week. Been productive around the house. I've gotten some things done. I know there was, you know, a multitude of things that kind of got worked on. Got the outside windows clean yesterday, and some of the stuff that's bought from the store is pretty stout. Like, you could tell it has bleach in it, but yeah, got that done and some other things. And so we got some meeting today to do for the business, basically possible future endeavors that could produce something there. So look forward to that. But Jace, our oldest son, came back into town with his girlfriend, so we've got a house full, and supposed to go to the zoo tomorrow, so we'll see if we see any of our relatives there behind cages. Just joking. But yeah, anyway, moving on to bigger and better things. I hope again that your week is going well thus far, and kind of going to be concluding here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and it's been a good read, a good study for us, I believe, and I hope in some ways that there's, you know, been some depth there to get a better understanding as God's word reveals, and of course the Spirit, Holy Spirit, working in and through us, and illuminates and gives us clarity where maybe we don't always understand. You know, and I would say this, I think this is something that's important as you read the Bible. In the times of study, it is good to have other resources that you can look to for some clarification. But ultimately, I would dare say to encourage you to read the word first, you know, pray and ask for God's guidance as you read. And then, of course, if there's further instruction or wisdom to be gained, and get those commentaries, study Bibles, all the things that are available to assist you there to, get a deeper knowledge of what God's word is conveying. Had a good breakfast this morning. I'm jumping all over the place. Had some fried some bacon and some home fries. Something about home fries. Put a little seasoning on there. Yeah. And salsa on the eggs too. Spiced it up today, you know. So here we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It says this: "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whoever you approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encourage him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like man, and be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. That you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. But they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is my own hand. Paul, if anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Maranatha, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So as Paul concludes, he gives instructions and greetings here to the Church of Corinth. And basically, we would also say that there is some guidance as to how the ministry is to continue on. Even in this day, we would look at the biblical reference and see that there were a lot of instances where people were doing diverse ministry works, and he names certain people there in the passage and as far as what they're involved in and, of course, where they're going and how that's being done. But even in the midst of all those details that Paul describes with the people that's involved, we see the importance of what he does say, in reference to if the Lord permits it. I mean, ultimately, we do have the plans and agendas that are set forth for the year. But again, as James, that we studied back a while ago, it's as the Lord graces us and as he sees fit for his glory. And if it does come to fruition, then so be it. But if it doesn't, then so be it as well. I think it's a greater emphasis as what Paul is reminding, that there is a lot of work in the midst of ministry in particular, and even in his day and what he's describing and the people that are affiliated with this work. But at the same token, you know, God is the one that grants it. God is the one that has directed it. And so therefore, as he states in the passage, to stand firm and be faithful. And one passage that's always been kind of very direct in verse 13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, and act like men and be strong. It's interesting that Paul makes that declaration for the Church of Corinth, as well as probably would be stated even now in our day, is that a lot of times that's not the case. There's a lot of drama and things that happen within the confines of the church that probably shouldn't. But, you know, even though in the midst of all that's going on with the hustle and bustle, people can get chaotic, people can get overwhelmed. You know, maybe their social media is not going as well as they had anticipated, or maybe somebody didn't act a certain way. But, you know, Paul is reminding the church that in the midst of all these things that are functioning and how people interact with one another, be strong in the faith. Ultimately, be directed by God's power in one's life and not pulled by the tangents and schemes of the devil that seem to so often overcome our thought process, because we give into something that's fleeting and not something that is substantial, which basically gives us the confidence that we need in Christ. So, you know, I think that's part of the problem. that occurs, and probably what's the conflict that happens most of the time. This is a general blanket statement within the church, is people get focused on what others are doing instead of what they should be doing for the Lord. And that's just fact. I mean, there's no reason, and that could go in a bunch of different directions, and people could even argue that point. But, you know, the importance of staying focused on the task at hand, and as Paul does allude also to, above all, to love, to show love, and to show that which you've been graced with in your life, and how that's impacted your heart, and so therefore it's an outworking process that consumes all your actions, and therefore that takes precedence, and not the selfish desires or schemes of the heart. But you know, we are but human, mere mortal creatures that have many failures and faults, and I know that's probably not something that's considered as something to even say, but it's just a truth that the only way that we can stand firm and the only way that we can pursue these things is by God's grace through Christ that gives us the strength to sustain us each and every day. So again, staying the course, keeping the faith, fighting the good fight, and in the midst of all the things that are going on, as Paul is telling here in Corinth, of these plans and agendas and things of ministry, what's the overarching goal? Even in the midst of the plans, even in the midst of those who are working alongside you, ultimately the final goal and the aim in which we are basically trying to direct our lives towards is God's glory, not these plans, not these people, as he sees fit and as he leads. And I think that's the emphasis that we kind of conclude with here in 1 Corinthians. And I think it's a good application. It's a good direction for us to kind of lean upon as we look at even maybe our own lives individually. Is what is it that we are doing for the glory of God in our lives? And as we do that, how is it that that functions with even others in the church? And what does that mean? And how is it that is accomplished? Well, ultimately, as Paul says, it's something that we have to take hold of and stand firm in. If we try to stand firm in anything else, of course, we know that's sinking sand. But on Christ, the solid rock that we do proclaim and we stake our lives on, we strive to devote ourselves to his direction, which is basically more meaningful than the things of this world, or maybe even some of the tangents or schemes, again, of our hearts. So, brothers and sisters, I would encourage you as you labor together in the context of your church, in the context of where it is you serve, and maybe you're on the mission field, wherever you may be, that you seek first the kingdom of God, and these things that are basically before you will become more bearable, as maybe that could even sound a little bit, you know, somewhat comforting, but it's the truth. I think that the reality is that as we look forward to, again, God's working and his power revealed, it is evident for us to see that this is somewhat temporary, and it's not the permanent establishment that will encompass our being. So therefore, we look forward to the eternal hope. We look forward to the promise found in Christ, and that carries over as the anthem that we sing daily. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.